I'm kind of wondering, though, this morning, if you can remember what it felt like to graduate from high school. Can you remember what it felt like? I mean, for me, it's been 35 years since I graduated, so long that I have to actually kind of think about it. But when I look back on that time, I do remember being so glad to be done with high school and also being ready to get on with my life. Now, I just kind of told you when I might have graduated, but I'd like to just find out today from the crowd that's here when we all graduated. So I'm wondering, to begin with, is there anyone here who graduated in the 40s or earlier? Anybody in the 40s or earlier? Hey, we've got a few of those. That's great. How about in the 50s? Anybody graduate in the 50s? Number of those folks. Anybody in the 60s? Graduate in the 60s? Wow, a lot of those folks. How about the 70s? Anybody graduate in the 70s? How many times do you guys graduate? Looks like you're all raising your hand like a dozen times. How about the 80s? Anybody graduate in the 80s? All right. How about the 90s? Anybody graduate in the 90s? Anybody here graduate in the last 15 years? Any of those that are here? Hey, we got a few of those graduated in the last 15 years. Well, you know, most seniors are so ready to be done with high school. But anyone who's ever been through this stage of life knows that while one's compulsory schooling is over, the need to continue to learn is not, nor has one's education come to an end. And that's because all of life is a classroom, isn't it? I mean, we learn in more ways than one, not just in the classroom. In fact, I'm wondering this morning, raise a hand as well, how many of you would say you've learned a few things since graduation? Anybody learn a few? Probably all of us here. And again, I thought I had a pretty good handle on things when I graduated, but I now know that it's so true what one wise person once said. They said, it's what you learn after you know it all that counts. And that is so true. And so now whenever anyone greets me by saying, hey, Brian, what do you know? I will often reply, not enough. That's why I need to keep learning. Now, just because you've left the academic classroom, it doesn't mean that your education is over, because you still find yourself under the tutelage of two very insightful instructors that all of us share during life. And that's because there are two basic ways that we learn things. You've heard me say this before, but it always is good when I remind myself, and hopefully when I remind you, two ways that we learn, and we can either learn from wisdom or from consequences. From wisdom or from consequences. Those are two very daily teachers that are with us our entire life. Now, I will admit that there are some things that you can only learn the hard way. Walking. Yeah, I mean, you just have to do it and fall a few times. Riding a bicycle, driving a car. Things like that you have to learn from experience. But there are also a lot of things that you don't need to learn the hard way. I've discovered that some people, I say some people, because it also includes me, apparently like to learn things the hard way. All too often, as I was growing up and making mistakes, my parents, bless their hearts, would remind me, after another mistake, that I had just completed another course in the school of hard knocks. And I can tell you right now, you do not want to get your degree from this institution of lower learning. It is an institution of lower learning. The enrollment costs and ongoing tuition at Consequences University are sky high. And by the time you learn the lessons, the instruction may have cost you years of your life. Could even cost you a marriage, a family, a job, perhaps even your life. It's probably why the Apostle Paul said to the Ephesian Christians in Ephesians 5, be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, make sure you're using wisdom, but as wise. See, one of the things all of us need to recognize, and I specifically wanted to give our younger people, especially the seniors, some advice here today, is that you can live and learn, or you can learn and live. And it'll depend on whether you choose as your teacher wisdom or consequences. You can live and learn, or you can learn and live. Some of you know that I love to be in the mountains hiking in the summer. In the winter, I like to ski and snowboard. And a number of years ago, I decided that I was going to take on snowboarding full bore. So I bought a snowboard, and I bought bindings, and I bought boots. Now, one of the things I learned was that when you're snowboarding, they actually recommend that you wear a helmet when you're snowboarding. But I thought, oh, I don't really need a helmet. And so I went out on opening day in 2001 at Breckenridge and did about 5 or 6 runs down the hill. And on the 6th run or so, I caught the front edge of my snowboard and did a face plant. And to make a long story short, I didn't actually come to until I was down in the medical center a little bit later. And that was a weird feeling because I woke up and I said, where am I? I looked around and I said, wow, this looks a lot like a hospital. I said, what was I doing? That's right, I was snowboarding. I must have wrecked really bad. Now, what I learned was that if I'm going to snowboard ever, what am I going to be wearing? I'm going to be wearing a helmet. You can live and learn, or you can learn and live. And what's so helpful about wisdom and why we need to seek it is because wisdom teaches you the lesson before you make the mistake. That's why wisdom is so important. That's why we should want wisdom. And wisdom is one of the keys to avoiding regret in this life. In Proverbs 27, it says, the prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and suffer for it. Now, one of the best definitions of wisdom that I've ever come across is the definition that says wisdom equals truth that leads to a better life. It's one of the reasons why we would want to have wisdom. And I'll just tell you right now, this book, the Bible, the scriptures, are filled with the wisdom of God that truly leads to a better life. It's why we ought to make it our pursuit. It's one of the reasons why when Solomon wrote the Proverbs in Proverbs chapter 4, and if you have your Bibles, you might want to follow along, but it'll be up on the screen as well. In Proverbs 4, it says how important it is to have wisdom. Notice it says, get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget my words or swerve from them. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. Wisdom is supreme, therefore get wisdom. Though it costs you all you have, get understanding. Esteem her, and she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will honor you. When, and then verse 12, jump down to verse 12, it says, when you walk, your steps will not be hampered, and when you run, you will not stumble. Now, I've spent a lot of time this morning already in this message talking about wisdom. You know why? It's because one of the lessons that wisdom teaches us, and what I wanted to encourage not only our graduates this morning, but each one of us, whatever stage of life we're at, is wisdom teaches us something that Andy Stanley has coined. He calls it the principle of the path. The principle of the path. And basically, whatever path you choose in life is going to lead you to some destination. And even though you might say that you know that, well, oh yes, whatever path you're on is going to lead to a destination, sometimes when we arrive at the destination of the path we've chosen, we complain about where we find ourselves, how did I get here, and yet that's exactly the path that we have chosen. In his book, Making Life Work, Bill Hybels, who's a pastor and an author in Chicago, Illinois, he tells a story about an encounter that he had with a fellow frequent flyer when they were both dealing with some of the frustrations of air travel. If you know what I'm talking about, probably a missed flight or something going wrong at the airport. Well, the man, because they had a lot of time, shared some of his life story with Bill, and it became evident that he was quite mad at God for allowing what he thought was an inordinate amount of pain to enter his life. Well, when he had finished complaining and indicting God for everything that had gone wrong in his life, Bill looked at him and said, wow, that's quite a story. But could I ask you a couple of questions? He said, you said your former wife turned into a horrible, evil person. He said, I wonder what your relationship with her was like before she turned evil. How did you treat her? Were you good to her? Were you faithful to her? Or did you perhaps do some stupid things that might have added a little bit to the demise of your marriage? He had to admit that he had done a few stupid things. And then Bill said to him, and about your tens of thousands of dollars of debt and your tax problems with the government, simple question here, did you ever let your spending get out of control? Did you ever spend more than you earned? Did you ever buy anything foolishly or impulsively? And he again admitted that he had. And then Bill said, and so you're frustrated now because no one will give you a job. Well, just a question. What kind of employee were you? Were you a model employee? If I called up the last three of your employers, would they be disappointed over losing an employee as great as you? Well, the man admitted that he's actually had been fired from his last job because he'd lost his temper a few times and had even told his boss where he hoped that the boss would spend eternity. And in case you're wondering, it was a very hot place. Now, up to that point, Bill hadn't let on that he was a pastor. But finally, he came clean. And he actually told the man that he didn't believe that God had singled him out for any special suffering. And that he didn't think that it was fair for him to blame God for any of the problems that he was actually blaming God for. And then Bill said to him, you know, the Bible says, if you sow folly, you will reap heartbreak. And he says, it seems to me that you've sown plenty of folly, and now you're getting a very predictable return. Now, while that might sound like kind of tough talk, it is, but it was the truth, and I do believe that Bill spoke it in love. See, the principle of the path simply says direction determines destination. Direction determines destination. Wherever you are right now, wherever you find yourself in life, it has a lot to do with the path that you've selected. That really has been determined by many of the choices that you have made. So you don't really have to be a rocket scientist to know that the direction that you're headed in will determine where you're ending up. We all understand that when we're going out on the road. I mean, think about it. My parents live up in Denver. They live in the same house that they've lived in for 50 years. And the reason I know that is I'm not very good at math, but I'm 53, and I know we moved there when I was 3, and so I was able to figure that out. Now, if I wanted to go visit my parents, would it make any difference when I got out to Interstate 25 if I went north or if I went south? Would it make any difference? She said, yes, it'd make a big difference, lot longer trip if I go the other direction. How about if I'm really very sincere when I head south? I mean, I mean well when I head south. Even if I mean well when I head south, is that going to help at all? Probably not. Because direction determines destination. Now, what's true about where we're going geographically is also true personally. You see, what that means is the direction that you are currently headed, whether it's relationally or financially or spiritually, and you know, the list could go on, that will determine your ultimate destination in every one of those respective areas. And that's why we have to be so careful about the paths that we choose. Because even if we think it's the right path, and God says otherwise, it is a guarantee that we are not going to end up in a good place. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. See, no one, I think, wants to wake up in their 50s or 60s and wish they'd taken a different path in their 20s or 30s. No one wants to arrive at the end of a marriage and wish they'd taken a different path during the dating years. See, in spite of what we might hope, intention does not determine destination. Intention does not determine destination. It's direction, not intention, that determines destination. I know that because many of us, myself included, we have good intentions, don't we? But you know, all the good intentions in the world won't get you in the right place if you're headed in the wrong direction. Have you ever noticed that when someone wants you to focus on something, what they will actually say to you is, hey, pay attention. Isn't that interesting? Pay attention. Pay actually implies a cost. I heard someone say one time, they said, you know, I'm so broke, I can't even pay attention. And sometimes it may feel that way. Well, if we want to be wise, we're going to have to pay attention. Now, the reason that our attention is so important is because it is our attention that determines our direction. Direction determines destination, but our attention is what determines our direction. And whatever we're paying attention to is going to determine our direction, which is why our goal should always be to figure out what's the wise thing for me to do? What's the wisest direction for me to go? And that's because every decision we make is a step in a certain direction. Every decision we make is a step in a certain direction. And you and I face decisions every day that are going to direct our life in a certain direction. Decisions like, who are my friends going to be? Who should I date? Who should I marry? What college should I attend? Is it time to start a family or add to the one I have? Should I consider this job offer or that job offer? I mean, even the decision, should I try to beat this yellow light, can have an impact. See, there's a connection between the choices that you make today and what you're going to experience in the future. There's a connection between the choices that you make today and what you will experience in the future. Which means that every time, I'm sorry, I'm going to quit preaching and go to meddling here for a moment. Every time you eat something you know you will regret, you are ignoring that reality. Every time you talk yourself out of exercising, you're talking yourself out of a preferred future. Every time you don't tell the truth to your spouse or your boss or your children or to anyone else, or you spend money you don't have, you act as if today isn't connected to tomorrow. One of the people that I'll always remember in ministry is a guy by the name of Ned. Ned grew up in the church. His dad was a leader. He was involved in the church. He got to experience, you know, Sunday school and vacation Bible school and church camp. And so he should have had a great relationship with the Lord, but like many young people, when he got out on his own, he decided he was going to live his own life, and he got involved in a lot of rough stuff. Got into selling drugs, eventually spent 2 terms in the Nebraska State Penitentiary. But finally, after a long process, Ned found his way, or Christ helped lead him back to himself. He found his way back to Christ, and it was an amazing transformation. Ned was totally forgiven from the mistakes that he had made. But what I discovered was the pain of what he had to live for, because there were consequences while he was living in this other path that he had to pay during that time. He'd forgotten to pay his taxes, and so his wages were garnished. He had broken a lot of relationships, and there were children from multiple relationships that he had to deal with. And so even though we can be forgiven, if we make wrong decisions, there's a lot of times consequences that we will pay. And see, whether you recognize it or not, today is connected to tomorrow. That's why I'm glad you're here today, because that's a good decision. But you know, there's a lie going around out there. The people who do an advertising for Las Vegas will tell you that what happens in Las Vegas stays in Las Vegas. That is not true. That's a lie. Because what happens today is connected to tomorrow. And it's amazing how many people there are who don't connect the dots between the choices they make and the outcomes they experience. How did I get here? Well, I was probably some choices you made. So a young single woman says, I want to meet and one day marry a great Christian guy who's really got his life together. But then she ends up dating whoever asks her out, as long as he's cute. Newlywed determines that they want to be as secure financial as they can by the time they reach their parents' age. But then they adopt a lifestyle that is sustained by debt and overspending. A married woman says, I want to have a great relationship with my husband. But then she makes her children a priority over her husband. A father says, I want my kids to respect me as they grow up. But then he embarrasses them by his anger and frustration that he often demonstrates both at home and in public. A high school freshman wants to graduate with a GPA that will give him really a good option when he selects a college. And then he neglects to study. A young Christian will say, I want to develop a deep and heartfelt intimacy with God, and then gets up early every morning only to check his Twitter account. A couple says, we want our children to develop a personal relationship with God and choose friends who've done the same thing. But then they skip church most weekends to head to the mountains or to pursue their favorite sport. See, the problem is that most people would like to believe that they're the exception. That, you know, that works for everybody else, but I'm going to be able to get by making different decisions. Now, I want to encourage you today, you are definitely unique as a person. But I got to remind you this morning, you are also very much like everyone else. Probably more like everyone else than you think. One of the things that's been interesting to me is over the years as I've preached on a Sunday morning, I'll preach on a certain topic, and somebody will come up after the message and they'll say, Brian, were you at our house this last week? Did you see what was going on there? Because you talked right to what was happening in my life. Why is that? Because they're so unique? No, actually, because they're so much like everyone else. We really are like everyone else, and yet we think were the exception. Even Solomon, who's described as most likely the wisest man who ever lived. So he had great wisdom, but when he ignored what was wise, he himself suffered the consequences. He was warned by God, do not intermarry with other nations because your foreign wives will turn your heart from God. And yet he said, you know, I can handle it. I'm the exception. But that's exactly what happened. And instead of finishing as the great king that he could have, he actually finished life as a little bit of a disappointment. And that's because all of the wisdom in the world cannot negate the consequences of the paths that we choose in life. All of the wisdom in the world cannot negate the consequences of the paths that we choose. That's why we need to choose our paths very wisely. And if we ever discover, doesn't matter when, if we ever discover that we're on the wrong path, what's the best thing to do? Stop immediately and head down choose a different path. This morning, I know we're a little bit short on time, I'm actually going to read an entire book to you this morning. It's an autobiography. Okay, are you ready? Sit back, relax. Don't close your eyes. That's dangerous. Actually, it's written by a lady named Portia Nelson. And it's an autobiography in 5 short chapters. So I can get through the whole book today in 5 short chapters. Here's chapter 1. I walk down the street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I fall in. I'm lost. I'm helpless. It isn't my fault. It takes me forever to find a way out. That's chapter 1. Chapter 2. I walk down the street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I pretend I don't see it. I fall in again. I can't believe I'm in the same place. But it isn't my fault. Still takes me a long time to get out. Chapter 3. I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I see it's there. I still fall in. It's a habit. My eyes are open. I know where I am. It is my fault. I get out immediately. Chapter 4. I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I walk around it. Chapter 5. I walk down another street. See, you and I could avoid many wrong paths if we would just trust that God knows what's best and then follow His guidance as closely as possible. I think one of the most insightful verses in all of the Bible is Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Every diligent Christ follower should hide this one in their heart and in their mind. Because it says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding the way you think it ought to be. But in all of your ways, in all of your paths, in all of your decisions, acknowledge Him. And what will He do? He'll make your paths straight. He'll direct your paths. He'll lead you ultimately where you want to go. In other words, follow God's path instead of your own. Now, as we wrap this up, I think it's time really for some self-examination. I've got a couple questions. They're in your notes, but they'll be up on the screen too. You need to ask yourself today, does the path you have chosen lead to the destination that you desire? Is it headed there? Or are there discrepancies between what you desire in your heart and what you're doing with your life? There's a lot of people, that's true. There's a discrepancy between what they know they want and then yet what they're actually pursuing. Next question would be, is there alignment between your intentions and your direction? Because a lot of us have great intentions, but they're not necessarily followed through with where we're headed. See, remember, direction, not intention, determines destination. And I would just want to say, especially to the young people that are here today, if you're in your teens or you're in your 20s, you are in the best place to begin to make wise choices with your life that will help you arrive at your desired destination. And I want to say to you, please let wisdom be your favorite instructor. It's so much better than consequences. If you're here today and you find yourself in your 30s or your 40s or your 50s or your 60s or even your 70s or more, and you find that you're not headed toward your desired destination, you know when the best time to change is? Right now. Right now. You've heard that it was said, maybe, that the very best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. Very best time to plant a tree. The second very best time to plant a tree is right now. It's today. That's when you need to start if you find yourself not where you need to be. Let's pray. Father, there are just principles that you have established in this world. As much as we would like to find our way sometimes around them, we know that we're all subject to them, especially in this area of the path that we choose. Father, you've told us that what we sow is what we're going to reap. The direction that we go is going to lead to a certain destination. And so I want to pray just especially for the young people that are here. I would want to pray that you'd help them at this early point in their life to be able to begin to make wise choices and wise decisions that will lead them to wise places in their life. Father, I pray that you'd help the rest of us who are down the road a little ways. If we find ourselves in places where we're not headed in the direction we want to go, that you'd give us the courage to maybe admit that and to start moving in a better, more healthy direction with our life. Thank you again for releasing us, Father, from the eternal consequences of our mistakes. give us the ability to avoid as many of the consequences here on this earth as we can by living a life that trusts in you, that doesn't lean on our own understanding, but then in everything we do acknowledges you. Father, we ask and pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.